Sorry to disappoint you, I know nothing about chlamydia. Today I'd like to present some of the results from an evaluation we conducted of the TB reporting system in New York City. Since it's a short presentation, I won't have time to cover everything we've learned, but I'm happy to answer any follow-up questions afterwards. In New York City, it's required by law that patients with suspected or confirmed TB disease are reported to the City Health Department. These reports are required for both positive laboratory results and clinical suspicion that leads to airborne infection isolation or starting anti-TB medication. Both laboratories and providers are required to submit reports within 24 hours after one of these criteria is met. From there, if patients meet certain additional criteria, they're assigned for active case management, where a dedicated public health advisor follows up with them until they complete treatment or are determined to not have TB. And this reporting system impacts all TB-related public health action in New York City, so it's important that the process captures all TB cases quickly and efficiently. As part of a larger evaluation, we decided to look at all patients reported to New York City for suspected or confirmed disease in 2013, where they were reported from, and how timely they were initially reported to the City Health Department. We found that there were 3,256 patients initially reported by a New York City lab or medical provider for suspected or confirmed TB disease in 2013. 1,638, or about half of these reported patients, were assigned for active case management. 946, or about one-third of the reported patients, don't have record of ever meeting any of the criteria for TB reporting. Ultimately, 646 of the reported patients were confirmed as TB cases. And this means that of the patients reported for TB in New York City in 2013, about 1 in 5 were ultimately confirmed as a TB case. And among those assigned for active case management, about 2 in 5 were ultimately confirmed to have TB. Next, we wanted to see where these patients were initially being reported from. We found that initial patient reports came from 156 different New York City facilities, and that most patients were initially reported from a hospital. There was a median of 2 initial patient reports per facility, but this ranged from 1 to 343, and there were 9 different facilities that reported more than 100 patients each. In addition, when we looked at just the 20 facilities that reported the most patients, we found that these top 20 were responsible for almost 3/4 of all patients reported that year. Finally, we wanted to see how quickly the patients were initially reported to the health department. The 946 patients who didn't have record of meeting any of the reporting criteria were excluded from this part of the analysis, since they typically didn't have relevant dates of diagnosis or symptom onset to work with. If there were delays in reporting after the patient's diagnoses, that could mean that public health activities like active case management or contact investigations might be delayed as well, and could potentially lead to negative clinical impacts for the patients or their contacts. So we defined a late report as one received 4 or more days after start of anti-TB medication, start of airborne infection isolation, or collection of a specimen positive for TB on a smear or NAA test, or 7 or more days after collection of a pathology specimen positive for TB. And this was based on the standard definition used in the department. We found that the initial report was received late for 791 of the patients that met one or more of the reporting criteria, so a bit over 1/3. Next, we looked to see if these delays were associated with any patient or reporter characteristics to see if we could gain any insight into why these reports were delayed. We found that the patients who were ultimately counted as TB cases were actually more likely to be reported late than those who didn't end up having TB. In addition, we found that patients reported from a facility that was not one of the top 20 were more likely to be reported late as well. Finally, patients who had died by the time of initial report and those with an extrapulmonary site of disease were more likely to be reported late as well. However, delayed reports didn't differ significantly by age, gender, country of birth, or any other sociodemographic characteristics that we looked at. And then when we looked at the total time between symptom onset and initial report, we found a median of 28 days, or almost 1 month. And while some of this is likely due to delays in the reporting process, some is probably due to delays in care-seeking behavior as well. So in review, we found that nearly 1/3 of the reported patients didn't have record of meeting any of the TB reporting criteria for New York City. In addition, although more than 150 facilities reported patients in 2013, just a few were responsible for the large majority of reported patients, and most facilities only reported a few. Finally, we found that more than one-third of initial patient reports were received late according to our definition, and this number was even higher among confirmed cases. Further research would be required to determine whether these delays had any clinical impact on the patients or their contacts. And we're currently modifying our surveillance system and reporting requirements to be able to better understand where and when in the process these delays are occurring. But in the meantime, these results will be used to help inform laboratory and provider outreach activities and improve the efficiency of the TB surveillance system in New York City. Thank you.